Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Dawn B. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today's Tuesday, February 27th, 2024, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book and we're on page 5, the 6th paragraph, Renewing My Resolve through one paragraph ending, and I did. Commenting on this one paragraph today. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Lorraine N., 12 Traditions, Deanna, 12 Traditions, Shelley E. Readers of the text will be Penny L. C., Dana P., and Shelley E. The reference number for Monday, February 26, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 21,169. And for this morning, Tuesday, February 27th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the reference number is 21,172. That's 21172. Our newcomer greeter this morning is Carla C., and Shelley E. will do the announcements. Thank you to everyone for your service. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I'll now ask Lorraine N. to please read the 12 steps of OA.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. My name is Lorraine N. I'm a compulsive eater in Oregon, recovered for today. Here are the steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thanks for the opportunity to read the steps. I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Lorraine N. I will now ask Shelley E. to read the 12 traditions of OA.
Good morning. I'm Shelley E., a recovered compulsive overeater in Arlington, Texas. The OA 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeating Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me do service, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Shelley E. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book, and we're on page 5, the 6th paragraph, Renewing My Resolve, through one paragraph ending, And I Did, commenting on this one paragraph today. I'll now ask Penny L.C. to begin reading and then share with us.
Thank you, Dawn. Thank you for your service. Good morning, and good morning to everyone on the line. This is Penny L.C., a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from the state of Washington. Renewing my resolve, I tried again. Some time passed, and confidence began to be replaced by cocksuredness. I could laugh at the gin mills. Now I had what it takes. One day I walked into a cafe to telephone. In no time, I was beating on the bar, asking myself how it happened. As the whiskey rose to my head, I told myself I would manage better next time. But I might as well get good and drunk then. And I did. Oh boy, when I think and reflect about how I can relate to this, you know, how many times did I insanely binge and then decide to try again, to swear off compulsive overeating? I would renew my commitment to restrict my intake, whether going on the next diet, pledging to give up sugar, or trying to make a behavior change. My intention would be all in, you know, and I would be successful. I would gain false assurance, and my ego would tell my mind that it got it this time. The humility would fade away. I would start to believe I've got respect for the disease and my level of the problem under control, even solve until life happened, right? Life happens. It does for all of us. When the overwhelm of a crisis or some chaos took over in my life, all control dissolved. And the only thing I believed was that the binge foods would fix it, or at least deaden the discomfort. No surprise, the outcome was just like Bill's. I would end up face first, yep, is in the events to the point of, I would end up face first in the sweets to the point of a comatose-like fog, food fog. Thank you to higher power that today I've learned about the powerlessness of my body with my food allergies, the powerlessness of my mind with my obsession and compulsion, and the powerlessness of my will with my self-centered ego taking hold. I now know that the only way to acquire the power with a capital P that I need is to connect and develop my relationship with the God of my understanding. And therein lies the solution. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Penny LC, for getting us started and for getting that meeting going with a lovely share. So now I'm going to take the names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share on this paragraph?
Laura W.
Melanie Jersey.
Okay, I have Laura W., and there were, who were some of the names before Elaine G., and I also have Elaine G.
Melanie.
I heard Larry G., and I heard Melanie. And who else
Tom
was
L.
in that? Okay, Tom L. Who else did I already hear? Okay, I have Laura W., Larry G., Melanie, I believe Melanie C., Elaine G., and Tom L. Anyone else? Okay, let's go with that lineup. Laura W., please get us started, followed by Larry G.
Thanks, Dawn. Good morning, everyone. This is Laura W. I am a recovered, not cured, compulsive eater, anorexic, and exercise bulimic in South Jersey, renewing my resolve. You know, that those three words remind me that I felt like I had control of this. Like I could pull myself up by my bootstraps, renew my resolve, make it better the next day, fix it, have some sort of control over the uncontrollable and try again, you know. And my words and my actions never matched. I would always say, I'm going to get better. I'm not going to run so much. I'm not going to eat this crappy food. And I meant business. I really did mean business. But words and actions have to match in order for recovery to work. And all of my good intentions meant nothing without action. And, you know, we can make a decision to do anything, but unless we take the action, we'll make a decision to take a trip, but if we don't go buy the ticket, get on the airplane and go on the trip, we're not going to get there. This is the only disease that tells me I do not have a disease. He says, I could laugh at the gin mills. Now I had what it took. That arrogance that I had, driven by the compulsion to do what I felt like I had to do in order for ease and comfort. And, you know, there's a certain sense of security in the familiar, and my disease was so familiar. You know, I mean, I could not do it. And, you know, I told myself I would manage better next time, but I might as well get good and drunk then. And so I did, you know, so there was that cockiness followed by, what's the use? I'm a loser. And I'm just going to, you know, I'll start tomorrow. I'll start Monday. I'll start next month. You know, I'm just so grateful that I can see the progression of the disease. And I see the insanity and I see me. And seeing those three things reminds me what I need to do today, one day at a time, to stay in recovery. And that's not just stay abstinent. It's not just put my food on a scale. That's sort of bonus points. It's to stay close to God. It's stay close to my higher power and to help others and to pause. Pause before opening my mouth. Pause before clicking send on an email. Just pause. Thanks for letting me share. Pass.
Thank you so much, Laura W. from New Jersey. Please share with us, followed by Melanie C. Star one, Larry.
Thank you, Dawn. Larry G. from California. This is a chilling paragraph in Bill's story. I've come to the understanding in my present state of recovery that I didn't want to stop eating. I just wanted a reprieve. I wanted a break from the insanity. I used to get so sick. The hangovers were so bad after having an epic binge that I was swearing off alcoholic foods forever. But in the back of my mind, knowing I wanted to eat again, the ritual was intoxicating of figuring out what foods I'm going to get. You know, is it going to be bagels or donuts? Is it going to be coconut-based ice cream or the real thing? And then going to the store and my eyes lighting up like, you know, pinball lights up these lights in the pinball machine, and going down the aisles and shopping for just the right amount of food to get what I needed. Yeah, I like the effect. And even though I would cause great harm to myself, emotional, spiritual, and physical harm by acting out with the alcoholic foods, I wanted to do it again. And what's really interesting was the denial of Bill's story. Let's just quickly say something about that. There was many times we read the big book, but, you know, didn't ever focus on it. We'd read Bill's story, and then we would go into our current state of affairs. And I would sit there and not pay attention. I'd be on the cell phone, you know, emailing, look at my emails, look at my texting, and saying to myself, what does this have to do with me as far as a compulsive eater? It has everything to do with me. If I read this through the eyes of a compulsive eater, I'm no different than Bill. Maybe, you know, a little bit of the story is different, but the outcome's the same. And so with that, I'll pass back to you, Don. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Larry G. from California. Melanie C., please share with us, followed by Elaine G.
Hi, Don. Hello, everyone. My name is Melanie C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, and I live in Canby, Oregon. Hi, and welcome to the newcomer and visitors today. So glad that you're here. I'm looking over this and thinking, you know, the last couple, two, three paragraphs have been examples of twisted thinking. And what's easier for me to kind of take in my mind is it's examples of the way that my brain processes because I have a mind of an addict. And whether or not I developed it or whether it came naturally, it doesn't matter because I am here. This is where I'm at, and this is the way it functions now from this day forward, unless I have a program and a workable solution. And I have found that, thank God, with the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous and this fellowship for sure. You know, I'm thinking about the way the mind goes, and same as everyone has shared, it's not anything unusual whatsoever that I have this plan in place, and it's desperate. It's desperate to not pick up anymore, and it's faithful, and it's intentional, and everything's set up to be able to do that. And I cannot tell you, I swear to God, I don't know if it's because I'm old or if it's because the mind is so good at causing me to forget. But I don't remember what happened the day that I picked up again and put on another 135, 45 pounds. I don't know. You know, where did that result? The same thing. The mapping of what Bill's talking about is exactly the way my mind functions all the time. And it's just absolutely desperate. And because there was such a fail factor in that, I would just say, I'm not going to do this anymore. I think that I'll just learn to live obese and be comfortable with that and make sure that I get up every day and get dressed and brush my teeth, which I never did any of those things either when I was in this particular disease. The resolve was never, ever, ever, ever followed through. It wasn't possible for me to be able to do that. I love the idea that in this place, we can see exactly what and how my mind relates into how Bill thinks. You know, where had been the firm resolve? I don't know. I swear to God, I don't know. And so that what that tells me is that my brain does not function the way that an average brain functions. And so that I'm going to have to look at a new language in which to combat that way in which my brain will say, you can do this again on Monday. You know, don't put so much pressure on you. We'll just start again on Monday. You can trust yourself. Monday's going to be here, and it's only a day or so away. Just take the stress off and just eat, eat, eat. I'm going to have to find a new language to be able to combat that kind of thinking. And I am doing that, thank God, with my higher power, the 12 steps
and the fellowship that carries me through each and every single day. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Melanie C. Elaine G., please share with us, followed by Tom L.
Hi, everybody. This is Elaine from New York. Glad to be back. I don't know why I even left. All I know is that I'm not doing as good whenever I don't go to this meeting. Anyway, having to do with my disease. I mean, like, I could go to a restaurant and I have leftover food, and here I am taking it home and telling myself, oh, I'll eat that later. I mean, where'd that come from? You know, my disease on my shoulder here. And so, do I bring it home anymore? Oh, no. I don't bring it home. I'd rather just leave it in the restaurant than compulsively eat. But then many times I'll say to myself, oh, I could eat what I want. It'll be okay. And then I'll also tell myself, no, I don't have to tell my sponsor that I ate in the middle of the night. But you know something? I can't do that anymore. I tell them I can't have any secrets. Any secrets is hindering me, you know? And, no, my abstinence goes up and down with a few days here, a few weeks here, a few months. I got to be desperate enough to, I'm saying to myself, I got 4 days. Oh, I can compulsively eat. I got 4 days. That's my stupid disease talking, you know? Meanwhile, and my sponsor, well, he tells me when I told him about the one time I compulsively ate in the middle of the night, oh, that's only a vegetable. Yeah, that's not helpful either. But anyway, I feel like I need a new sponsor. I mean, I'm going through the fourth step, and well, it's making it hard for me. I had to, like, practically beg him. So, you know, I may go through the fourth step with him, but then I'm also going to look for a sponsor. I mean, he gives me 15 minutes and tells me, 15 minutes is up. And I don't like that. But I hate going from sponsor to sponsor. You hear me all the time saying, like, I need to go from sponsor to sponsor. But he's not giving me what I need, you know? Anyway, I really need a big book sponsor, so I'll stay at the end and get some numbers. And thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Elaine G. from New York. And just a quick reminder, we're talking about page 5, the sixth paragraph, renewing my resolve through one paragraph ending, and I did. So Tom L., please share with us, and then I'll be taking some more names of people who would like to share on this paragraph.
Hey, good morning, everyone. Great share so far. I feel part of a community that has, you know, I've been living with this my whole life, and I could never put words to it. And for most of it, I didn't even know I was addicted to certain substances. I just thought I liked to chew and swallow too much. And, you know, how do you stop doing that? You can't stop chewing and swallowing. Bill, at this point, he hasn't gone to the doctor yet. He hasn't gone to Silkworth's little drying out place. But he does know he cannot touch another drop. You know, he has lost a lot by this point, all his credibility. I don't know why his wife stayed with him. Most guys by that point, you know, sleep under a bridge. And he realized that he had just lost out on a big opportunity because he liked to drink too much. So he said, I'm not going to drink anymore, ever, ever, ever. I swear. His wife was probably looking at this, you know, that previously she had smiled, you know, he had promised so strongly. But he was to himself. He said, no, I will never drink again. This is too much humiliation. I will not. Dr. Silkworth, who he'll meet in a while, sees it from the outside. And he says they have a firm resolution not to drink again. And this is repeated over and over. It doesn't matter how firm it is. I mean, I have in my hand this resolution. I swear. I can tell you in detail why I should never eat alcoholic foods again, or I should always eat what I commit to my sponsor. Why do I always, I mean, that's such a simple idea, or in my case, a nutritionist. I mean, she has credentials. I don't have to do it anymore. I can follow what she says. I have this firm resolution in my hand. I can promise you that I will never do this again. But I didn't realize, even after years in OA, that I'm insane in this very strange way. I am insane in that I need to be built into something bigger than myself. Many people describe this as a spiritual experience or religious experience. I can't be the boss anymore of not only my food, which I have to. I mean, it's hard to get sober with food. It is freaking hard. People talk about night eating. They hang in there, then they, like a robot, they get up in the middle of the night, like I got up in the middle of the night, and go to the kitchen and start baking at 3 a.m. and telling themselves, please stop, please don't do this. That's the kind of sickness I have. And this is why, as an atheist, I need a spiritual experience. You know, I can play with these ideas all I want, but I need to be built into something bigger than myself. That includes the Fellowship of Overeaters Anonymous. And it includes spending half an hour in the morning trying to contact a power that can help me. Because my hands are empty. I have no firm resolutions. It is pointless. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Tom L. from California. And I'm now going to take the names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences as well. So who would like to share with us?
Joanne P.
Darian
Karen
P.
G.
Was
Karen
that Karen?
D.
Karen D.
G, like green. Thanks.
Okay, very good. And was that Darian P. before?
Joanne P.
Joanne P. Okay, very good. Thank you so much.
Karen W.
Karen W. I have Joanne P., Karen G.,
Laura H. from Washington.
Laura H. from Washington. Okay, let's go with that. I have Joanne P., Karen G., Karen W., and Laura H. Joanne P., please share with us and let us know where you're calling from, if you would.
Good morning, everyone. This is Joanne P. from Pennsylvania. I'm grateful to be here today, a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. These words just describe how I spent most of my life. Renewing my resolve, I tried again. That was me. I spent most of my life, being confident that I could control my eating and then be right back into it again and not being able to. And it got progressively worse until it'll be 4 years, I guess, at the end of August. And I swear God found OA for me because I never even heard of OA. I knew there was something wrong with me. I knew that I needed a psychiatrist. I knew that I couldn't do what I had to do, what I used to be able to do, to lose weight. I couldn't even, I couldn't control my eating for, it got to the point where I couldn't even control it for a day, let alone, you know, a week or a month or any amount of time to lose the weight. So, it wasn't until I found this program. It is a WE program. I came in here desperate, thinking I needed a psychiatrist. Learned that, I had an obsession of the mind. Wow. And an abnormal reaction to food. Now I understood myself all of a sudden. I was like, really? This is me? And it wasn't until I abandoned myself to my higher power that I was able to, with humility and willingness, and I came in with the desperation and honesty, lots of honesty, was I able to put the food down and stop the obsession, stop the insanity, stop the cycle of abuse. I was killing myself. So, so thankful to be here today. So thankful for all of you for helping me. So thankful to my higher power. And so thankful for surrender. Surrendering my will and my life. And for acceptance, accepting people for who they are. And just the humility that comes with working these steps. And yeah, I'm especially thankful to my sponsor who has helped me see what it means, really, to be recovered. So with that, I pass. Thank you.
Don, we can't hear you. Star one.
Oh, sorry about that. Karen, thank you, Joanne P. from Pennsylvania. Karen G., please share with us, followed by Karen W., and let us know where you're calling from, if you would.
Good morning. Good morning, fellow travelers. This is Karen G. I'm a gratefully recovering compulsive eater in California. And really, there's just one line that I want to speak to, which is, I could laugh at the gin mills. Now I had what it takes. So I just want to pitch gratitude about the food neutrality that I have been graced with one day at a time. I do have confidence, but it's not being replaced by cocksureness. It's being replaced by gratitude. And I once heard a fellow say that one day at a time, higher power lends him resolve. And that's what higher power is doing for me. So I'll just briefly tell you a funny story, because we are not a glum lot. And my funny story has to do with how it was. And how it was is that at the end of the workday, when I was in my addiction, I was driving home, and this would happen frequently. And I would be coming up on a freeway exit, and my heart would start beating. And this was the exit to get off where they sold my binge food right off of the freeway. And my heart would start beating, and I would be getting excited, like a little rush, like a Pavlovian dog. And then when I would drive up and I would see the sign, oh my goodness, pumping even more. Like, and it got to the point I could not even see the sign of that place, which is a chain. It's a chain all over California. I couldn't even see a sign without getting excited. And, you know, my thing, I was the character defect that was getting triggered above and beyond the craving. That mental twist was, well, girl, I gave it the office. Where's my treat, right? So that's how excited I got when I would see that store, just the sign for the store. You know, it was just the anticipation. When just 2 weekends ago, I think it was, and we had a Super Bowl party, and to treat our friends, we had gotten a box of, you know, this item, you know, and the friends enjoyed it, and I had no temptation, thank you God. But then my husband and my son, my husband is trying to trim down a little bit, and he was, even after the guests came, he was really being called to eat that item, as with my son. And I was like, guys, you want me to get this out of the way? And my son was like, no. And my husband was like, you probably should. Well, guess what? This compulsive eater in recovery took that box of previously enticing food, and I brought it out to my car, and I put it in my trunk. And this is a God shot to me, because my higher power has a sense of humor, and I have inside jokes with him. And the irony is that I was the only person who had the ability to keep that item safe, or not safe. Thank you so much. Have a good one, everybody.
Thanks so much, Karen from California. Karen W., please share with us, followed by Laura H., and then I'll take some more names.
Hi, this is Karen W. from Katy, Texas. Grateful to be here today. I want to welcome any newcomers and just to say keep coming back. Mine's been a long journey, and I like the part that says I tried again. I didn't give up. I was out of town and away from home and not doing my daily routine, and I took that first bite and it set me in motion. And it was my thinking, you know, just one, I can do just one. I can't do just one. You know, I have that built-in forgetter of all the pain and agony that I went through most of my life with this food thing. And I just didn't think about it. And I also, my ego got in there and I was edging God out. I wasn't going to God when I had emotional things pop up. And that's, again, my forgetter. I need to go to God for every little bitty thing. I used to think he didn't care about what I ate, but he does care. He cares about everything, and he does love me. And so it's my thinking that gets me in trouble all the time. And I just want to thank all the sponsors and all the phone calls and text and all the fellows and events and the program and Bill and Bob that started all this. And I'm just grateful today, just for today. I'm okay. So thanks, and I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Karen W. from Texas. And just to let you know, in case you're just joining us, we are on page 5, talking about that sixth paragraph that starts with renewing my resolve through one paragraph ending, and I did. Laura H., please share with us, and then I'll take some more names.
Good morning. I'm Laura from Washington. I read this with everyone, and I was struck with the words, to never give up. And I'm in a process right now of sort of restarting. In 2001, I got abstinent from bulimia, and I stayed abstinent or clean for a while until I began a series of binges over the next 23 years. I'd get abstinent, and then I'd go for a few months, and then I'd blow it again. And I all the time wasn't purging. I wasn't doing laxative diuretics, enemas, anything, and felt that because I wasn't doing those things, I was abstinent, and I was really fooling myself around what it meant to be truly free of this addiction. And I began to live through one hangover after another from binging, starting over again. And I just did it over and over, and I didn't realize that I was running on self-will and arrogance and rage and the grocery store, which became the date that I would have with that replaced my friendships, and got completely isolated and lived in this resentment. And right now I'm working through the book with a new sponsor, and there's a page in the Agnostics that talks about in the face of collapse and despair, in the face of total failure of our human resources, we find a new power. And as I read this with everyone this morning, I realized that this cocksuredness that I used to live with, where I would sort of laugh even at people in meetings thinking I've got it licked, has smacked me in the face in this last week as I'm reading through this agnostics part. And I've read the big book, I can't even tell you how many times, and it never ceases to amaze me that there are still things I can learn from the big book and words that I've never actually seen, because I'm racing through again just to say that I did it and not actually taking in the word. I love this particular reading about trying again, even though the context that he's talking about is trying again and failing. It's taken me at least 57 quit attempts to get where I'm at today. And I used to feel really embarrassed about it. I would never call into this meeting. I just have been very secretive. And I'm realizing that part of what I have to do is that to stop being a secret and let people know that I exist, that I'm on the line listening. So I'm feeling really grateful to even speak up and be part of the meeting and to remind anyone who's still suffering, never give up. Keep trying.
Thank you so much, Laura H. from Washington. And I'm now going to take the names of people who would like to share in this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us?
Donna B.
Donna B. Press star one if you'd like to share.
Gaylene B.
Gaylene B.
Yes, Kayla.
Gayla B. W. And who W?
Marilee.
Marilee. Okay, very good.
Denise.
Okay, I don't know that we'll have time for you, Denise, but I'll go ahead and write you down. Donna B., please share with us, followed by Gayla and Marilee, and then Denise. Go ahead, Donna B.
Hi, this is Donna B. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, binge purge bulimic and exercise bulimic, calling from Denver, Colorado. And I just want to take a moment to reflect on the paragraphs leading up to this. The way these paragraphs are organized really reflects my experience with the food. In that, in one paragraph, he says, I woke up, this had to be stopped. Short, and then in the next paragraph, shortly afterward, I came home drunk. And that was really my experience, the waking up, the commitment to stop, and within less than four sentences, and in my experience, within less than some shortening over time, I was back in the food again. And I went through that cycle over and over and over again. And then moving on to today's paragraph, there was something that would renew my resolve. And I remember speaking to someone and saying that my moments of greatest hope were when I had a new idea, when there was a new medication to try, when there was a new diet to try, when there was a new exercise plan to try, whenever there was something new that I had never done before, I felt so much hope because I really believed that this time it would be different, that this time I would be able to keep my resolve and stay on the path of whatever the new plan was. And because I'm a real compulsive overeater, none of those plans, no amount of resolve, no amount of waking up, no commitment to stay stopped actually worked for me. I always found myself back in the food. And I'm so grateful that today I don't live like that. Today, by working the 12 steps, all 12 steps on a daily basis, I have the opportunity to access a power greater than myself that can do for me what I was never able to do for myself. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Donna B. Gayla B., please share with us and let us know where you're calling from.
Hello, this is Gayla B., and I am a compulsive overeater in Georgia.
This is Gaylene B. Can I be heard?
Yes, you can be heard. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Okay. I apologize. I was having trouble getting unmuted. Thank you for the opportunity to share today, and thank you for your service. I pondered this morning, as I've been listening to these shares, my journey and how many times I've got this. I feel it. I'm doing good. I've got 2 days. I've got 3 days. I've got a week. The the part that I was missing, even though I was promising myself and I said, this is stopped, it's got to be stopped, I'm awake, I'm doing this. The part that was missing was that I didn't understand it. Abstinence, transformation, the gift of being recovered is something that's done to me, for me. And I know that I'm a part of that process, but I didn't understand that until I had a sponsor share that with me. And beginning to think about that and understand that helped me to understand that, or begin to realize rather that, wow, this is not something that I choose when. I just get to choose for today to be abstinent, to not have compulsive food behaviors. And I can't even really explain how it happened, but I went on a trip with my family to Disneyland last summer. And I just didn't, I wasn't really counting my abstinent days before that because I just knew I'd fail when we got to Disneyland. There's just so much food that's not on my food plan. It's so much overeating. But I got there and I didn't want anything. And I was utterly shocked and amazed. And I ate well. I ate proper amounts. And then it just continued on. And I really just, I'm standing in awe of the process and with so much gratitude because of all of the times that I've had high resolve and I would make it sometimes only 2 hours, sometimes not past breakfast. What a gift. This has been, and what a gift being a part of this fellowship is. I'm so grateful. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much. And I believe we had a Gayla and a Gayleen, but please come back tomorrow and share with us. We have Marilee up next, and but we look forward to everyone sharing. So, Marilee, please take a one-minute share, if you would, please.
Okay, my name is Marilee W. I live in Colorado. And it's funny, I'm driving in a snowstorm right now where I was, and I was thinking about the word cocksuredness. The same thing with food. There's been such beautiful shares. The, you know, we're not there yet in the book, but in the fear part, it talks about... you know, when it made it us cocky, it was worse. And so how many times have we or I relied on fear to be in this place of the dieting or the restricting or the, you know, I have this with the food. But I was thinking especially about the restricting and the dieting and like, I've got it this time. And how everyone's so beautifully shared that I was thinking about the word humility. Self-confidence is different. Like coming in a program, we can have belief in ourselves and self-confidence in, you know, that inner place within ourselves that we are enough, but the opposite. Okay, thank you.
Thank you so much, Marilee, and thank you to everyone who shared. I'm now going to have to close the meeting, but please come back tomorrow, those who weren't able to share. We're now going to close with a reading from page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Dana P. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Yes, Dawn, good morning. I'd be honored to do that. I'm Dana P. I'm in California. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in our morning meditation. My apologies. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. you're free of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.